Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, fellow actors. This is the KODM. That's the King of DC Media, William Powell. Welcome to the 10th episode of Inside Acting. Tonight, we've got a fantastic guest, comedy writer and actor, Mr. Royale Watkins. Before we get into that, I have several announcements to make. In order to help you thespians out there get more work, I've created a workshop called Networking Tricks for Actors, where I teach a lot of counterintuitive concepts about networking. So come on out to Performing Arts Training Studio. For those of you in the DC area, it is near Tacoma Park Metro. The next workshop is going to be held on March 19th from 7:45 to 8:45 p.m. And it is a self-contained workshop, so it will repeat on consecutive Monday nights until April 16th. And to register, go to performingartstrainingstudio.com. That's performingartstrainingstudio.com. Also, if you haven't already, please check me out at DC Actors Examiner, and the best way to find that is to simply Google DC Actors Examiner. I've got a lot of fantastic articles out there. I've been writing it 3 years now. I've got 3 years' worth of resources out there. My last article was actually about the power of Twitter to get you work. So go on out there and Google DC Actors Examiner and start reading some of the articles, and I would appreciate it too if you would go ahead while you're out there and subscribe. Okay, let's move on to some TV show and rating news. It is reported that in one fell swoop, CBS Television has renewed 18 series for its 2012-2013 season. The renewals include four comedies: How I Met Your Mother, The Big Bang Theory, Two Broke Girls, and Mike and Molly. Also in the comedy category, CBS and Warner Brothers Television are on preliminary talks about the future seasons of Two and a Half Men. That's a show I've never understood. Moving on to CBS's dramas, they have renewed NCIS, another show I don't get. NCIS Los Angeles, Hawaii 5-0, which is a rehash. Criminal Minds, CSI Crime Scene Investigation, Person of Interest, which I hear is pretty good. The Mentalist, Blue Bloods, and The Good Wife. There's an interesting story here about the show that I was planning to watch it. It's got Dustin Hoffman was in it. It's a show called Luck on HBO. And I got a report here that they said that they canceled the show. They have a statement here saying it is with great heartbreak that executive producer David Milch and Michael Mann, together with HBO, have decided to cease all future production on the series Luck. Safety is always of paramount concern. We maintain the highest safety standards throughout production, higher, in fact, than any protocols existing in horse racing anywhere, with many fewer incidents. In other words, this is a show about horse racing. And I think this is just really a smokescreen, folks. It just looks to me as though that the ratings were low and the demographics were just old. They skewed old because nobody's really that much into the horse racing anymore. And it seems to me that they just got tired of the show and they just simply canceled it. That's what it looks like to me. Moving right along, let's take a look here at reality TV shows. And there's going to be a reality TV show called The Eastwoods on the E Network. E is going inside the lives of Dina Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's wife, his daughter Francesca, age 18, and Moran, age 15, in the series Mrs. Eastwood and Company. Half-hour episodes will focus on Dina, Francesca, and Morgan, and six members of the all-male South African vocal group Overtone that is managed by Dina. Oh, say it ain't so, Clint. Oh, my goodness. What can I say? All these reality shows, they are just getting out of control, man. What can I tell you? Wow. So, let's see here. Moving right along to other news. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't already, I'm getting a lot of these stories. I get a lot of these stories from there's a website called Synopsis. And this lady named Cynthia Turner puts together a lot of these reports. There's all kinds of reports on there about, they've got jobs out there. I mean, they've got different things about ratings. They got all that stuff out there. So a lot of good information out there. Okay, so I guess we're getting ready to go ahead and talk to Mr. Roy L. Watkins. Roy L., what's up, brother?
Listen, you got me. I'm excited to be here.
Man, that's good. I'm glad you called in, man. I'm glad you're on the show. Absolutely.
You put the invite out there. What do you expect? I'm trying to take advantage of the opportunity to build and connect with you.
That's right, brother. That's right. So, man, so what's going on with Mixtape Comedy Club?
So, the Mixtape Comedy Show is a show that myself and Anthony Anderson, we co-host. We do it every third Sunday at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. In fact, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow to fly to New York, and we put up the show this Sunday. It's something that we kind of built with the fan base on Facebook. Anthony and I were goofing around. The fans say, hey, you guys should do a show. And our response to that was putting up a show in New York City, because Anthony was actually doing Law & Order when we first started producing
right.
the show. And so we put up the first show, and the fan base came out and supported it. We didn't have not one flyer. No paper flyer was produced at all to support the first show. It was all done word of mouth via Facebook. And that was it was really successful, and the fans was like, you guys should continue to do it. And they wanted us to do a weekly show, but, living here in L.A., I knew that I couldn't sustain getting on a plane and flying back and forth every week. And so we decided to go with it.
That's a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Well, listen, not if you're flying around the world the way I'm flying around. I can tell you right now, the tickets that I was using when we first started out, a lot of them were not very legit. I'm sure, some of these airlines may have questioned my name and spelling on a couple of the tickets, but I managed to get it done.
Good.
But that's another story.
Okay.
We decided to go with doing the show once a month. And so after the first show, I was goofing around with Anthony on Facebook. We ended up doing this rap freestyle battle against each other. We posted these videos. The fans got involved and said, hey, you guys should battle each other, a battle against each other at the next Mixtape Comedy Show. And so we decided that's what we were going to do. We actually brought up the comedians. He and I got on stage to battle. We had Kango Kid from UTFO in the house. We brought him on stage. He ended up performing. And after the show, I took a look at the footage and saw that we had something that was kind of interesting. We had a comedy show. We had a freestyle battle, and we had a closing music artist. And they weren't laid out in that order, but when I took and moved them around to lay it out like that, I thought, wow, we have something that's completely different from what anybody else is doing. And so that became the new format of our show. That's how we got the format of the Mixtape Comedy Show.
Wow. And I think I saw you online somewhere. You were saying that your show is actually ahead of the internet.
Well, the thing that I'll say is this, is that we've managed to kind of utilize the pieces. Like, we streamed the show live. Last year we started streaming the show live. And, you know, we found that the fan base who was not able to get to New York City really wanted to be able to experience the show. And so that's when we started streaming it. And we started using Ustream. And the thing that made Ustream interesting to us was that they had a chat applet that allowed the people who were following the show to communicate with us online while the show was going real time. And so that was a really interesting component to me, because much like a radio shout out, to be able to use a social networking component and be able to shout out to people online really took the engagement of the show to a whole nother level.
Mm.
So just in terms of the internet play for us is, you know, television will always be television, but what we're finding is that the merge between television and new media and the internet and social media, they're all becoming one kind of thing in this kind of this potpourri of people's viewing experience. And so for us, it really has been about how can we take and merge all of these things so that the people who follow our show have the opportunity to continue to engage it, whether we're online, whether we're engaging with them through social media after the show is over, or driving that traffic to television, which is the next piece to the puzzle that we're kind of looking to put in place.
It sounds like everything is supporting everything. You know, it's like everything's like a platform for everything else these days.
When you tie them together the right way, they absolutely, you know, again, from online to offline, using the internet to build awareness about our product, to drive people into the venue where we are, whether it's New York City, and we're looking to expand to go into a couple of other cities this year. Hopefully Chicago will be one. We're looking at Seattle. My hometown, Washington, D.C., is a strong possibility. But, again, driving that traffic and having people experience us as a live experience, meaning be, you know, to be able to touch the show and be in a venue with myself and Anthony and the comedians and the freestyle rappers and the closing music artists, and to drive that to television, you know, people are able to consume this thing real time all the time and have it available to them. Again, we're working on a mixtape comedy show app for the phones, and you're absolutely right. They absolutely support each other, but the most important component is that you continue to engage your audience and give the audience the type of branded entertainment that they're willing to continue to support.
That's what's up. So let's talk about how you got started out. Now, it seems to me that looking at your career, you started out with acting, and then you morphed over to writing. You've written a couple of TV shows with The Two of Us. I believe you won an award for that. Are we there yet?
No, it actually started with the stand-up. The stand-up has always been the driver for everything that I've done. To me, it's the purest form of the entertainment that I'm allowed or get the opportunity to do. But I started with the stand-up, and from the stand-up, I kind of segued and got the opportunity to do television on camera, and from there I got the opportunity to do some film work, and from there I got the opportunity to write for television, and the writing for television has been a really interesting and important component, because I've learned more about storytelling through my experience writing for television. It's like when I started writing for television, which coincidentally happened because a friend of mine, Dwayne Martin, was on a show, All of Us, which Will and Jada Smith produced. And,
right,
you know, Dwayne was aware of my stand-up and aware of the storytelling because I have kids. And there was a child on the show, and there was a blended family dynamic. And, you know, some of the stories that I was telling on stage, there was some synergy between what they were doing storyline-wise on the show, and he thought it might be a good fit. And in fact, I came over to pitch them a show, an episode idea, which was a real experience for me, which was about one of my sons, my middle son, when he was 6 years old, came to me just out of the blue and said, "Dad, can I say the word that rhymes with bigger that starts with the N?" And it was such a just this kind of arresting feeling that I had, that this little kid had, that I exposed some kind of way, I'd allow this word, this very, you know, destructive word in, on some levels, to kind of enter my son's consciousness. And so my search for an answer for him led me to share this story with the showrunner over there. The showrunner shared it with Will. Will got really excited about it, and they decided that we were going to do an episode called The N-Word, which Will ended up directing, which is just, you know, tremendously exciting for me personally that, you know, my relationship with him, while we had a relationship before this episode allowed the two of us to kind of connect on something that was important to both of us, which was, you know, finding an answer for these kids who are confused about, you know, this particular word in our community and how we use it and how we relate to it and how other people relate to us through this word, because it could be so destructive on one hand, but on the other hand, the very thing that we use to embrace one another, you know, can be destructive in terms of how other people see us. So, again, this was my point of entry into writing for television, and I was nominated for an NAACP Image Award, you know. And, you know, for me, it's not about being nominated. It's about bringing more awareness to, you know, what the writing is and what the intent of the episode is and was. So the search for an answer for me, for my son, you know, landing on an episode of television that was produced, to me, is the greatest, you know, kind of answer, or at least search for an answer that I can give him. So that was exciting. And then I got the opportunity from there, you know, with the writing for television bug having, you know, being bitten by that. You know, went on and got the opportunity to write for Till Death, which is on Fox, which is J.B. Smoove was co-starring on the show with Brad Garrett. And, again, it's just another opportunity to write and learn television, and from there segued into another writing opportunity, which is Are We There Yet for TBS. They produce, well, we wrote 100 episodes. I was on for, like, probably 80 of them. And and now, you know, continuing that journey. But for me, it really is about finding the balance between writing for television, my stand-up, my producing. I actually have a series called Stand Up for Family, which is a clean comedy platform, family-based clean comedy, that Bill Bellamy hosts at this company, American Family Insurance. You know, it produces, and so again, you know, I'm just out here continuing to grind, continuing do the work to expand myself as a person, as an artist, as a writer, and as a producer.
Wow, and that's what it's about. I mean, in a lot of actors in this area that I talk to, I mean, that's one thing we really encourage is, you know, write your own stuff. You know, write your own stuff. Nobody puts you on, and you got to kind of create your own platform.
Well, listen, I will say this. It's interesting, you know, we have so many people, especially older artists now, and I see them struggling with how to remain kind of relevant in this business, which is changing so quickly. The old kind of model was that we sat back, we got a manager, we got an agent, and we waited for the opportunities to kind of come our way. And the networks, the studios, and so forth, they built this huge wall in between the public who was paying for content and the talent. They kept those two separate, and they were the gatekeepers. They dictated what the pricing was and who got to meet the public, you know, and who got to be on screen. But now it's changed because of the economy. The studios and networks don't have the overhead to be able to support hiring 100 or 200 people. So now all of the tools, they've just kind of, you know, YouTube and cameras and all of these different things are available to the public. You have kids in college making viral videos, making real money, you know, through their YouTube partnerships. And so the tools are free.
Right. The tools
all
are
the
out
tools
there.
Are free. Yeah,
yeah, everything's been outsourced.
Out there. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so if somebody's, you know, again, this whole mixtape comedy show and the platform, which now 3 years later, we are in a position where I'm hopeful that, you know, again, we'll add the television component this year. We're talking to a couple of different networks, and I feel completely confident that it will happen this year. But even without the television component, you know, the audience is there on the Internet. The Internet is being consumed more than television. People don't realize this, but the computer, the Internet, the web, has become a completely mobile experience. People can't drag around the 42 or 56-inch flat screen they have in their house. But that cell phone that has Internet access and YouTube, people are consuming that stuff 24 hours a day.
That's right. That's right. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere.
I tell you what, this is the most interesting thing I've seen. A lot of people didn't miss this, but I think during the Super Bowl, I watched the T-Mobile commercial, the Super Bowl around Christmas time. At any rate, there was some commercial T-Mobile did, I believe it was, and there was Elves, which leads me to believe it was a Christmas commercial. But at any rate, and it was Christmas, at any rate, on this conveyor belt was a computer and cell phones and tablets or something. But the computer came down the conveyor belt, and the Elf pulled a lever and actually forced the computer to fall through some hole, which, you know, they were trying to suggest to you that the computer and the television are dead in many ways. The cell phone with the computer, with the Internet access, the mobile thing is where everything is headed. That's why everybody is all on mobile content. Can their content become mobile?
Right.
So, you know, you can produce a video that's a minute, 2 minute long. You know, there's so much content people are producing. Whether it's Charlie Bit My Finger or whatever, content is making a lot of money without the overhead.
That's right. So you're a native son of D.C., so you started out on the comedy circuit. So tell me, what's the key to comedy, in your opinion?
Dedication. Determination, the ability to put the work in necessary to learn the craft. I mean, there are people that are naturally gifted that are funny, but the people who find success in doing this long term are the ones who actually, you know, put in the work day in and day out to learn the craft and to grow their brand. You look at somebody like Chris Rock. Chris Rock has longevity because he puts in the work to continue to grow his brand. Dave Chappelle, the same. Jerry Seinfeld, the same. These guys are masters at their craft.
Right.
Put the work in day in and day out. So, you know, because a lot of people think they're funny, you know, who get on stage. I've seen it, you know, time and again, people get on stage for all of the wrong reasons. You know, I get on stage because I believe that the people who are sitting in the audience have paid or, you know, whether it's in dollars or their time, to come to have an experience that are going to lift their spirits to a point where they're elevated to laughter. And so with that awareness, when I come to the stage, I'm not coming up there, you know, so that I can be cute on stage or to tell people, look at me. I'm coming to bring an experience on stage that's going to elevate everybody in the room.
Right. Yeah, it's really about the audience at the end of the day. You know,
there's
it's
no
the same thing
about
in acting. Yeah, in acting, people want to have this kind of this movie star syndrome or this narcissistic kind of thing where they want to be looked at. But I think you hit the nail on the head right there.
The thing that I've learned is that, and again, I have to go back to mixtape because, you know, this show is probably the most important entertainment property I've worked on. And I say that because through the use of Facebook and the social media stuff, I've had the opportunity to learn how important it is to give the people that you're creating the product for a hand in helping you produce the show, because again, the people who follow the show through Facebook give us so many notes and make so many suggestions, and we pay attention to it all.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So talk about a little bit about training. Now, is that something that you're a big proponent of, is being a performer as far as, see, I've talked to a lot of comic actors. I had one of the guys from The Hangover on the show last week, and he still does a lot of training as far as like improv and things like that. And it's been said that improv is like the basics of acting and performing. What's your view on that?
My view on training, first and foremost, is you get as much education as you possibly can get for anything that you're, you know, that you hope to make a substantial impact in. You know, if you're a boxer, you know, and you reach a certain plateau in your boxing career, just because, you know, again, you've won X amount of belts, and, you know, you don't take 3 years off and go, okay, I got the training from 3 years to support me and I don't need to get back into the gym. That makes no sense.
That makes no sense.
You know, you're setting yourself up for failure. So
right.
That doesn't change in any kind of endeavor that you have kind of committed yourself to trying to make an impact. So whether it's acting, absolutely. You know, I think some of the strongest actors are the ones who are constantly doing theater.
Right.
Now, we watch a lot of cats on screen, and to me, some of the, again, the strongest performers are the ones who have a theater background, who have that training to support them and continue to do it.
That's right. That's something I've been preaching from the mountaintops, theater, and a lot of people don't have the patience. I have some friends of mine that actually they say, oh, William, I don't have the patience for theater. You know, they just want to get out there.
Everybody just wants to get out there. The problem is nobody wants to do the work.
Yep.
You know, I had a young comic ask me, he's like, man, can you just write me some material, man? I just need the material. Can you? Like,
what?
No. It's like, if you want me to help you, if you want me to support you, you need to write the material yourself so that you learn what the relationship is between your point of view and the impact your point of view has on the audience when they sit and experience your version of this.
Right. Absolutely.
But
that's
theater,
really frowned upon, too, is stealing material, especially in the comedy world. Oh, man. That's,
well, that's different. The stealing is a whole different thing. Writing something for someone as a service is done all the time. You know, there are a lot of comics who have writers who support them and, you know, to kind of enhance what they're doing or to go along with, you know what I mean, while they're in the process of, you know, a bunch of comics. Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, they all have punch-up writers. You know, I would suggest to you that Chris writes the bulk of his material, but he may have people that sit in the audience and go, okay, you can make this adjustment here, or what are you, you know, all comics do who are shooting a special have it. But stealing is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing there, yeah. Yeah, what you just said brings to mind that movie I saw, Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen, what was it, Funny People?
Yeah, Funny People.
Yeah, Rogen was he's kind of like the punch-up guy.
Yeah, he's the punch-up guy. I mean, young comedians, it's the way that a lot of young comedians try to get on. Like, if I'm, you know, I've done this before, you know, I'm a huge Damon Wayans fan. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm a huge Damon Wayans fan. So,
yeah.
Damon would go on at the Improv here in L.A. years ago when he was, like, really, really out working. And young comics would sit in the back and watch him. Those that made, you know, that had any sense would sit and try to learn. But, you know, as a comic, I would go, man, let me see if I can punch up one of his jokes. Let me see if I can add something to what he's doing. And, you know, you write it down. You try to give it to him or try to, you know, while he's on his way out, you say, hey, man, I was thinking about. And, you know, he would listen. Sometimes he'd listen, and sometimes he'd be on the move trying to get to the next club. But at least you'd try.
Roy, yeah, we're just about out of time. Are there any website shout-outs you want to put out there before we go off the air?
I want to shout out the Mixtape Comedy Show, which is, again, every third Sunday we're in New York City. I want to ask your followers to follow me. I'm on Twitter really, really heavy. I'm at Royale, R-O-Y-A-L-E, Watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S. And just want to encourage everybody that's within earshot of this right here just to be determined to, you know, I have this quote that I came up with. I said, when you wake up in the morning, if you don't have a reason to fight, if you don't give yourself something to fight for, then go back to sleep.
On that note, I think we've got to end the show, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll have you on again, man. Thanks a lot.
Anytime.
Okay. All right. Good night. Okay, everybody. Well, I just encourage all of you out there to do something for your career every day and break a leg.